Joining me now, Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show weeknights from 10 to midnight right here on The Fan, Steve Molesky. And Steve, we actually, I dined with you last night at the game, and we talked about Brian Mattis and the next step. And I guess we saw it after the game last night as he was optioned to Norfolk.
Yeah, we did, Ken, and I guess they didn't really have much of a choice because he's struggling so badly now, and his next two starts would have been on the road against Texas and Boston, not exactly a formula to retain your form. And so, you know, the big question that doesn't have an answer is, why is he struggling? And why can't he get hit 3 or 4 miles an hour back on his fastball? In addition to that, he's not locked in with the command his other pitches have shown. I mean, we were talking at dinner that Mattis could come out and throw 85, but if his curve, his changeup, and his slider are sharp, he could win. Now, that's not what you want to do. You want all the velocity back. But, I mean, so in other words, his whole game is not good right now, not just the fastball, but that's a big part of it. So if he's not hurt, and I think Buck last night did not 100% rule that out, they got to find out what's going on with him and see if they can fix this at AAA, where Mike Griffin, the pitching coach there, has kind of been the fix doctor for some pitchers over the last year or two.
Well, that's the thing. You got to think at this point he's hurt because it's something just doesn't look right out there.
He doesn't, it's crazy speculation, but conditioning could play a factor in here. I mean Brian, and I guess a mild criticism of him would be, you know, some pitchers have that real strong upper body, you know, and Brian is kind of a slender, slight guy. And, you know, you would think that would more come into play late in the year, maybe he'd wear down a little bit. And so he hasn't pitched that much yet this year, so why would that be a factor? I don't know. Maybe he takes longer to get built up into midseason form than other pitchers, and because his season was, you know, messed up with that injury, maybe that's here. You know, a lot of theories, but not a lot of answers right now.
And we were talking earlier in the show, Steve. I'm talking to Steve Molesky, Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show host from 10 to midnight here on The Fan with Ken Wyman on 105.7 The Fan. And talking about expectations for this team at the start of the season. And for me, I thought they'd win 86 games. But a lot of the reason I thought that was Brian Mattis would become the ace of this staff and Brian Roberts would be leading off and doing what he does. And you've got neither.
You do, and you also have, you know, let's face it, on opening day, we thought the Orioles would have a good offense. Not the Yankees or the Red Sox, not going to lead the league in runs scored, but not going to be 10th or 11th, might be 5th or 6th, might have an offense to say, hey, you know, they put up some runs some nights, and that hasn't materialized, and a lot of blame to go around there, and Robert's injury is a factor, and, you know, they signed Derek Lee and Vlad. And we knew they weren't in their prime, but we also knew those two players combined for about 200 RBIs last year. And right now they're on the pace to combine for about half of that. And they happen to hit in the middle of the order. Then you add Nick Markakis having a 50-game slump to that. And, you know, the offense just didn't get it done. And so right now you can go back over the last 2 weeks, and they're terrible stats with runners in scoring position. In addition to that, the starters have one quality start in 13 games. So you're not hitting in the clutch. You're not getting deep outings from your starters. I mean, what are you getting? How do you win when that happens? And I guess the answer is you don't.
I guess we'll touch on one thing positive. You talk about the lack of production from Lee and Vlad. The flip side is Hardy, and subtracting his batting average, Reynolds, I think, you would think they've exceeded expectations.
Well, they are the only two.
Offensively.
The Orioles have the only shortstop and third baseman in the major leagues that both have 10 or more homers. We haven't seen him do something like that for a while, so that's a real positive. And obviously Hardy, I think they need to sign him. I've heard fans say, you know, trade him because you could really get something good for him, and you could. But my take is when you have a piece of the puzzle seemingly solved and the only question mark with Hardy is not his ability, it's his durability, you almost have to sign that player. I mean, you have to say, this is a shortstop that could be our guy for the next 3 years, and we got to lock him up now. But if they can't, July 31st is approaching, and, you know, he could be a free agent. So you don't want him to just walk away. You could get a draft pick, but maybe they have to entertain trade offers, and maybe that's why Andy McPhail now wants to talk to him, because he wants to know in 2 to 3 weeks, is he going to be in or out at the end of this year?
Steve Molesky joining us here on the program, host of the Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show weeknights from 10 to midnight here on The Fan. And Steve, how do you explain the whole rotation? You mentioned it, not a quality start for a while now. The whole rotation basically going bad at the same time.
I know. It's been strange. I mean, I guess in the case of Madison Arrieta, there are injury issues at work, or at least ineffective issues at work, or whatever issues Mattis is having. So those two have fallen off their form a little bit. Britton has pitched decently, but he seems to be in a rut where he can't get a win now, like one win in his last 10 starts. You know, Guthrie's had a couple inconsistent ones, and you know, Jack Abauskas is what he is, which is, you know, an okay guy for the end of your rotation, but you don't expect him to come out and shut teams out. So right now, the ship is taken on water, and so they're going on the road. You know, the Braves are red hot right now, and they're facing the ERA leader in the National League tonight, then Texas, and then Boston. I mean, this road trip right now, Ken, with them playing like this, has the look of 2-8 or 1-9, which would be a disaster heading into the break. Hopefully, somehow, they flip the switch and ratchet up their play beginning tonight.
Who replaces Madison in the rotation?
I think they're going to do it within the current roster. And, you know, Bergeson, Birkin, Simone, any of the three. And Buck could wait until, say, Monday and see who hasn't pitched over the weekend a lot of innings and who's available. You know, they also could go to AAA. If they do, a name that you might hear is Mitch Atkins. He's one of these veteran guys that they signed over the winter who has some major league time and actually was out injured, then came back, and he pitched very well in the minors in June. And he pitched last night, so his next day to pitch would be Mattis's day. So he could be a guy in the minors they could get, and so really it's four candidates right there.
Talking to Steve Molesky, host of the Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show here on 105.7 The Fan. The Orioles against the Cardinals in the three-game series, and I'm working it out in my head because it was 1-for-16 over the first two games, so 3-for-21 against the Cardinals with runners in scoring position.
I know. They've been, in addition to being a maddeningly inconsistent team in the win-loss column, they've been that way with runners in scoring position. There's kind of a school of thought that they're just terrible in that every night, and they're really not. They have some nights where they're not, and usually they have a good chance to win those nights, coincidentally. You know, they got a couple guys who have good stats with runners in scoring position, including Jones and Wieters, who have hit well in those stats, Hardy too. So they're not totally inept there, but lately they have been, and it's so frustrating because they do get guys on base, and last night was at four double plays.
I guess you'd be a billionaire if you could answer this question, but how do you fix that? And also, to that end, you know, how do you get them to be, other than Reynolds, more patient at the plate?
I don't know, because they don't seem to do it. They're not a good team last year and some of this year in situational hitting, and they're not a team that works the count. There are rare nights you see it, and you wonder, why can't they do that more? You see them work a pitcher, work a count, and, you know, as Buck said, Buck went back and looked at the tape when they had bases loaded, no outs, didn't score in the fifth. And he said, we swung at pitches that weren't strikes. And, you know, that's when you hear Buck say, don't have an emotional at bat, that's what he's talking about. You go up there with the bases loaded, you got a chance to make the big hit now to turn around the game. So your adrenaline's pumping, you're a little keyed up, and as he said, when hitters go to the bat in those spots, they want to hit. I mean, they're not thinking take a walk, but he said there's a lot of walks to be had because the pitcher's got anxiety too. So the best guys, I guess, somehow can go up there with the bases loaded and no outs and say to themselves, I'm in no hurry to hit here. He's the one in trouble, the guy on the mound. Let's see him prove to me he can get out of this first. And they take a few pitches, they get in a good hitter's count, they relax, then boom, they drive it. And the Oriole guys seem to be doing the opposite. You know, it's like Buck has said, maybe too much want to. And so I don't know how you get into that mode. And I've talked to young hitters about, like Wieters, how do you get better at hitting in runners in scoring position? It seems to just be the longer they play, some of the good guys like Wieters and Jones, they just become more relaxed and more themselves in those spots. And you don't see a lot of young players have good stats in those situations because of the anxiety and the pressure they feel up there.
Steve, I'm curious. I'm frustrated. Fans are frustrated. You're around Buck Showalter a lot. Does he seem to be getting frustrated?
He is a veteran guy that hides it. But, I mean, you certainly see his frustration in small forms. But, I mean, you don't see Buck, you know, storm into the interview room or out of it, snap at reporters. You know, I just think he's been around too long for that to happen. I don't expect I'd be real surprised if one night Buck, you know, got really agitated in there, because I think he just is – he's been through too much. And he also knows that young players do this, and he knows that older players who struggle do this. And, you know, it doesn't mean he's not mad about it or doesn't want the burning desire to win, because some fans mistake that when they don't see a player look ridiculously upset. He doesn't want to win. Well, maybe he's just being poised and professional when the microphone and the camera's in his face, which is what they should be. Because they play every night. I mean, it's not football, you know. You don't throw your helmet, the game ended, we don't get to win for another week. No, you're going to play again tomorrow night. It's a long season, so you better not go in the tank after this loss. And so baseball is just a more even-keel sport. You know that, Ken. You don't run around high-fiving when you just had a great win, and you don't mope for 10 hours when you lost. So you just move on and grind it out, as Buck says.
Ken Wyman talking with Steve Molesky here on 105.7 The Fan. Steve hosts the Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show weeknights from 10 to midnight. I'm going to throw four names at you. We're at that point of the year where the Orioles become – it's their annual right to become sellers, as, of course, they're not contending. Four names at you. Your gut feeling after the deadline, are they still here? Jeremy Guthrie.
I'm going to say yes, but that's 50-50 to me. And because how many good pitchers will be available? That's the biggest question. If it's a lot – obviously, the value goes down. If it's not many, then maybe the offer for Guthrie would be really good.
Vladimir Guerrero.
I'm going to say he stays here because he's making $8 million, and unless the Orioles are willing to eat a lot of that, it'd be hard to move him.
Derek Lee.
I'm going to guess maybe he could be moved. He looks like he still has some juice in the bat. He's obviously still a very good defender. He's got an impeccable reputation for leadership and his veteran nature. And, they could move him, opening up first base for a myriad number of guys. And maybe that is a way they open up more at-bats for Reimold, indirectly, by moving Scott to first or opening up another position. So I'm going to say Lee goes.
And finally, J.J. Hardy.
I'm going to say he stays. I think they have to sign him to a new deal. He's got, great time to be JJ's agent, and the leverage is high. And the Orioles know that they have to pay him because, he can wait to the end of the year and then have 30 teams potentially bid on him. So they can't just come in with a lowball offer. They've got to give him some money. I don't know what that is. We were speculating in the press box the other night. A three-year deal, would it be $25 million? Would it be $30? I mean, what can Hardy get right now? But it's going to be pretty good. And it's going to be a risk, Ken, because he's had injury issues the last 2 years. But if you're the Orioles and you haven't won for this long and you have a shortstop who looks this good, I think you have to take the risk of giving him the contract.
Finally, the Orioles play in Atlanta tonight to finishing up Interleague for another year. Do you like Interleague baseball, and are you ready for an Interleague series every day with realignment?
No, I'm not a big fan of it. It's kind of nice to see teams like the Braves and the Cardinals come to town, and I guess that's the nice part of it. But, it's just, I don't know. I'd be just as fine with them playing more games within the American League. I think, as a lot of the national media guys have said, Interleague is great for those special series like Yankee Mets, something like that, Cubs, White Sox. Even the Orioles Nats has taken on a little more luster, I think, in the last year or two. But overall, Oriole Braves is nice because, hey, the Braves are a quality team. I haven't seen them in a while. But it doesn't have big luster to me. I hope baseball can somehow work out a more balanced schedule, and that's what they look at down the road. They don't even need to realign the divisions. Just balance out the schedule some.
Steve Molesky hosts the Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show weeknights here from 10 to midnight. Hopefully the Orioles can get back on the winning track tonight in Atlanta, but Jair Jurgens is not the right guy you want to do that against.
I know. I'm going to try to figure out how to say his name by 10 o'clock tonight.
Steve, take care, man.